Thank you for joining me for worship today. Today is the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. Our order of service begins in the bulletin, and we're going to open right now with hymn number 869, Onward Christian Soldiers. It's 537 in the Red Book. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the Church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against that church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, and that cannot fail. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye faithful, join our happy throng, blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages saints and angels sing. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful. I have disobeyed you and justly deserve your punishment both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for the evil I have thought, spoken, and done. And for the sake of my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. I now ask you before God who searches the heart, do you confess your sins of thought, word, and deed? Are you sorry for your sins? Do you look to our Savior, Jesus Christ, for forgiveness? And with the Holy Spirit's help, do you want to correct your sinful life? Then declare so by saying yes. Upon this confession, I, as a called servant of the Word, announce to you God's grace and the forgiveness of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Old Testament reading for this 19th Sunday after Pentecost is again from that hard book, Amos, a book that speaks largely of God's judgment, from Amos 6, verses 1 to 7, a reading which warns against trusting in the pleasures of this life to give you the real meaning of life. Amos wrote, "Woe to you who are complacent in Zion, and to you who feel secure on Mount Samaria, you notable men of the foremost nation, to whom the people of Israel come. Go to Calneh and look at it. Go from there to Great Hamath, and then go down to Gath in Philistia. Are they better off than your two kingdoms? Is their land larger than yours? You put off the evil day and bring near a reign of terror. You lie on beds inlaid with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lambs and fattened calves. You strum away on your harps like David and improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowlful and use the finest lotions, but you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph," thinking of how the Israelite nation got divided into the northern and the southern kingdoms. "Therefore, you will be among the first to go into exile. Your feasting and lounging will end." Alleluia. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Our gospel reading is from Luke 16, verses 19 to 31. Rich man and poor Lazarus. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.' But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us.' He answered, 'Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' 'No, Father Abraham,' he said, 'but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' He said to them, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead.'" Let's continue now with our next hymn, hymn number 876, "Fight the Good Fight." It's hymn number 457 in the Red Book. Fight the good fight with all your might. Christ is your strength and Christ your right. Lay hold on life and it shall be your joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up your eyes and seek his face. Life with its way before us lies. Christ is the path and Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lean on your guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Lean and the trusting soul shall prove Christ is its life and Christ its love. Faint not nor fear, his arms are near. He changes not and you are dear. Only believe and you will see that Christ is Lord eternally. The grace and love of our Lord and Savior be with us always. Amen. The Word of God we want to consider this 19th Sunday after Pentecost is our epistle reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 16, where Paul was inspired to write, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen." Let's bow our heads for prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who art our strength and our salvation. Amen. My dear fellow Christian soldiers, there was a man who went to visit a wealthy Texas land baron, and that Texas land baron, after they had had dinner together, he took his guest out to the front porch of his home, and he reached his hand out to the horizon and said, "Everything you see is mine. The oil wells on the horizon, they're mine. That golden grain on the hills, that's mine. The cattle in the valley are all mine. 25 years ago, I had nothing. Now I own everything you see." And the host, he kind of saying that, was waiting for his guest to give him some sort of a word of praise. But in a bit of a surprise, what happened is that the guest instead reached his hand up toward heaven. He reached his hand up toward heaven and he said, Well, what good will, and what do you own up there? His point, of course, was that this man, even though he owned plenty of earthly treasures, he wasn't really wealthy at all because he didn't have any heavenly treasures. He really didn't have any heavenly treasures. Jesus said, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" Earthly treasures, they may be nice, and they may give us a lot of enjoyment, and that's not a bad thing. But heavenly treasures are the ones that really matter, that really count. So let's remember why God gave us life in this first place. It's not so that we can amass an earthly fortune, so that we can build up a name for ourselves in this life, and have a legacy in this life. Rather, God gave us life so that we can learn about Christ, so that we can grow in the grace and love of God, so that we can then, after we have grown in the grace and love of God, so that then what we can do is share the grace and love of God that we've enjoyed, experienced with others, so that they too can enjoy that grace and love of God. Well, growing in the grace of God, sharing the grace of God. Today, the Apostle Paul is encouraging us. He says, "Take hold of the eternal life to which we were called," or to claim our victory and to share it. We'll want to keep pressing on toward our heavenly goal and that goal of sharing Jesus with others. That's what we want to work at as we claim our victory and we share our victory. And now, as Paul encourages us to claim our victory and share that victory, he talks about the losing battle, and he talks about the good fight, and finally, he talks about the God behind our victory. In our reading, Paul, the experienced pastor, was inspired by God to write this letter to Timothy, a younger pastor, to give him instructions on Christian living and how to teach the people that he was serving in his congregation about Christian living, to help them, him, to help himself, and to help us to realize that our Savior and the salvation he graciously won for us, that's really our most valuable treasure. And now, can anyone or anything give us blessings that come close to the blessings that we get from being close to our Savior and his Word? And the answer, of course, is no. That's why Paul says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness here refers to a life motivated by the faith, in Christ, in which we strive to do everything to God's glory. Such a life with contentment, being satisfied with the blessings that God gives to us, that's truly a blessed life. Paul said, "But if we have food and clothing," and he's talking about our basic needs, and really, when you get right down to us, who of us doesn't have whole lot more than just our basic needs. "But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that." When Paul talks here about contentment, he's not saying that what we should do is just sit around and wait for manna to fall down from heaven as it did for the Israelites during those 40 years that they were wandering around in the wilderness. God wants us to work. He wants us to faithfully use the talents and abilities that God has given to us. And if our faithful use of those talents and abilities, if that allows us to gain more earthly wealth, Well, then God wants us to use that earthly wealth to show God thanks, to reach out with the gospel and to do things like take care of our family, help the poor, pay taxes, things like that as well. But he wants us to use the blessings that he gives to us in a God-pleasing way, and maybe especially to get that gospel message out. And if our faithful use of our talents and abilities means that we still struggle, that it still ends up being difficult for us to make ends meet, even then, God wants us to be content and to thank him for what he has given to us. But now, no matter what our financial situation may be, let's be content and not complain. Paul says, we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. Earthly goods, earthly possessions, money, all of that stuff, it's really just temporary. And maybe seeing people who have lost everything due to a fire or a tornado or hurricanes or earthquakes or war, seeing people lose everything like that just reminds us of the temporary nature of all of the things of this life. And now see, basing our happiness on those temporary earthly treasures, it's kind of like deriving all of our joy while looking at an ice sculpture that's out in the middle of the Sahara Desert. Yet we're tempted, and we need to realize this, we're tempted to base our happiness on earthly things. And if we fall to that temptation, what we're doing is we're fighting a losing battle, a terrible battle. Paul says, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. And now notice here he says not money is a root of all kinds of evil, but the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And now see, if our life goal is just to get rich, then it's possible that we may go to any extreme, doing terrible things just to get rich. And our God, instead of being the Lord of heaven, would be the almighty dollar, which today we'd have to say isn't really all that almighty. It seems to be getting worth less and less every day. There was a ship with about 100 passengers that was wrecked many years ago on a South Seas island. When they were wrecked, absolutely everyone survived. And from their vessel, they were able to save enough food that would allow them several months of existence. And then they also had all these seeds, a sack of seeds for springtime planting. But when the men reached the shore, what happened is that almost immediately someone discovered gold. And when they discovered the gold, what happened is that they just put all their efforts into getting more and more of that precious metal out. And they had to be filthy rich with the gold on that stranded there on that South Sea island, but all they were doing is fighting a losing battle by digging up all of that gold, by panning for that gold, because once several months passed and they had eaten their food and they had planted nothing for future food, they all ended up starving to death. They had mixed up priorities. They were fighting, as I said, a losing battle. May God help us so that in our spiritual lives, we aren't like those survivors who ended up not surviving? Of course, the seed that we want to be concerned about is God's Word, which is able to make us strong unto, make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And how important it is that we don't neglect that seed, but use that seed so we're built up and strengthened in our faith in our Savior, Jesus. Well, instead of seeking riches as our first desire, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. But what is that good fight of faith? It's not the battle against terrorism or poverty or against some foreign enemy or any other battle that our nation keeps fighting. Battles that we should be taking to the Lord in prayer regularly about. But the battle that we're talking about here, fighting the good fight of faith, it's the battle that is fought in every Christian by our sinful nature and our new man. Our new man is that force which the Holy Spirit puts into us when he calls us to faith and makes us believing children of God. Our new man, what it does is it strives to please God, to serve God, and well, we fight the good fight of faith when with God's help we're working with that new man that is giving us the power to fight in the first place to try to control our sinful nature. I often like to tell you that this battle reminds me of the Bugs Bunny cartoons that I used to watch years ago. And I can remember any number of those cartoons in which Bugs Bunny had on one shoulder a little angel Bugs and on the other shoulder and a little devil Bugs. And those little mini Bugs Bunnies were fighting amongst each other trying to get Bugs Bunny to do good or to do evil. And, well, oftentimes Bugs Bunny would end up listening to the evil one. And now I think of that story. It happens to be a humorous picture. Our situation is kind of like that, but it's not a cartoon and it's not funny at all. It's a real battle with eternal consequences. We have our new man, that force within us that the Holy Spirit has given us that wants to please and serve God. We also have that sinful nature. They're always fighting against each other and always trying to be in control in our lives. And well, so that the devil on our one shoulder doesn't get the best of us, let's pray to God for his help to fight against our sinful nature. And let's search and study the scriptures regularly and faithfully, because God's power is in the gospel, which strengthens our new man to fight against our sinful nature. And now there is another side to this fighting the good fight of faith. That is our battle with the sinful world around us. We fight this battle not by dropping nuclear bombs or missiles on those who are unbelievers on the other side. We fight this battle when we claim our victory and when we share that victory. Do all that we can through our own efforts and through our offerings, our mission offerings, so that the gospel reaches out to more and more souls. Paul said, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The NIV translation of this verse is poor because it almost makes it sound as if Timothy made this good confession of faith
before he was actually called to faith. And now that's impossible. He couldn't make a confession of his faith first. Paul says to the Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to be there first. Faith has to be there first. So this verse is better translated, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and which you confessed so beautifully before so many witnesses. Timothy had made this beautiful confession at the time when he was baptized. We make a similar confession of faith if we were baptized as adults or older children or when we're confirmed. And well, we also make that beautiful confession whenever we share our faith with others, when we tell others about Jesus. Here, Paul is encouraging us to see our salvation as our life's number one goal. And that really should be so obvious that that's what our life is all about. Paul said to Timothy and to us, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. The command that Paul wants us to keep, he says without spot or blemish, is that directive to fight the good fight of faith and to spread the gospel, to claim our victory and to share it. That's what he's directing us to do. Now, because we are sinful human beings, we won't be able to follow that command without spot or blemish. But with God's help, we can work at it. And we can thank God that Jesus, he did follow that command perfectly for us, and he gives us his perfection where we fail. Well, to close our reading, Paul describes the God who is responsible for our eternal victory over sin, death, and the devil. Paul said, God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. When we think of God, what do we think of? What picture, image, characteristics come to our minds? Well, through faith, we know our God is one who loves us so much that he sent his Son to be our Savior. He also loves the entire world so much that he wants you and me to share that message of his love with all people. But because of our sins, we also, when we think of God, we think of God as someone to be afraid of. Our sinfulness right now, it makes it impossible for us to be in God's presence and to see his full glory. But when he takes us to heaven, is that going to be so wonderful? Then our Almighty God, he will have made us perfect. And then we'll be able to stand in the presence of God and see him and all of his glory, his magnificent glory, and we won't be a bit afraid. We'll just be thrilled to be there in the presence of God, to praise him and worship him and to be there with God for all eternity. We'll see him as our loving Heavenly Father who has taken us to be with him and to enjoy blessings forever. Well, let's consider again that Texas land baron that I referred to there earlier. He boasted that he owned absolutely everything in sight. He was kind of like the rich man that Jesus talked about in today's gospel reading. He thought he was rich and had everything, but he was only rich in his earthly possessions. How much better off that Texas land baron would have been, the rich man in the parable would have been, if they had had less earthly possessions and more eternal blessings, if they had been instead close to the Savior and his word, if they had used their earthly possessions to serve the Lord and the spread of his kingdom. May God help us to remember what makes us truly wealthy, what makes us truly blessed. And it's being close to the Savior and his word. It's worshiping our God, studying his word, enjoying his grace and mercy and love. God has graciously given to us faith in his Son, which leads to eternal life, our eternal victory. Let's never forget that we believers in Christ are the richest and most blessed people around. So let's claim our victory that we have in Christ, and let's share it so that more souls can be as blessed as you and I are. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's pray. Mercifully grant, O God, that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts, for without your help we are unable to please you. We pray through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord God, we ask you always to please keep on building us up, strengthening our faith. Help us always to see the wonderful, the amazing victory that Christ has won for us, and so fill us with your grace and your mercy and your love that we can't help but sharing that, well, through our personal witness, through our offerings, so that that gospel message goes out into all the world and can reach and bring souls into, the Holy Spirit can bring souls into God's believing family. Lord God, we keep in our prayers all those in our prayer list dealing with their aches and pains and trials and troubles. We ask for healing if that's your will, but we ask always first and foremost, please give all those on our prayer list and to all of us more of your grace and your mercy and love. Help us to know the victory that we have in Christ, and the fact that we are the richest and most blessed people in the world because we have you. We gather up all of the prayers we have today as we join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now receive that wonderful blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Let's join in singing our prayer for our country. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. And again, I'd say thank you for joining me for worship today. In the congregation this week, well, let's see, Monday is Burr Webb's birthday, and it's also Todd and Liz Hubert's anniversary. Nothing really new to report as far as those who are on our prayer list. I haven't heard anything other with Forrest Ripley. Well, I did hear that he went out to get a deer hunting license, so he must be doing pretty well following the surgery. I mean, there still is treatment that he needs for that brain cancer mass that was removed, but if he's ready to go hunting, that sounds like a good thing, I guess. Again, thank you for joining me. The Lord bless and keep you always.